I'll start off from the book of John, chapter 16, verse 26. It says, at that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Praise God, praise God, praise God. See, all this series of teachings we've been hearing over the years have one purpose, and that is to awaken us to our origin in God, to bring us back to that realization that we are actually offsprings of the living God. We have our being in God, and apart from that being in God, there is no other being. When Jesus Christ says that, because you have loved me and believed that I came out from God, he's speaking about you who have the revelation of Christ in you. Christ in you is the true personality that God wants every man to awaken to. We've heard these scriptures, we've heard these things over and over again, but we must constantly remind each other. We must constantly meditate on this reality and let this reality become flesh in us. See, because you have believed that I came out, you believe that the Christ in you, your true identity, your true personality, the true I in you came out from God. Everything begins to be made plain for you. Everything becomes clear, crystal clear for you. In that day, you begin to realize the favor and the oneness that you have with God. Because the Father loves you. The Father never left you. See, obviously, we find ourselves in this world thinking that we are separate from God the Father. But now Christ has appeared from heaven to revive us and bring us back into that reality that we are in God the Father. Once we begin to awaken to this reality, we begin to leave the world. See, once we begin to awaken to this reality in what is termed the resurrection from the dead, we begin to get out from the graveyard of humanity. And we are awakening to the reality of that oneness that we have with God in the glory of the Father. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you, in you, before this world was, before I found myself down there in a world thinking that I am kind of separate from God, thinking that God is far away from me, thinking that I have an identity of my own. When Jesus Christ transfigured upon the mountain, you know, in reality, that image represents you and I in God. There was a cloud that, you know, encompassed Jesus as he transfigured. You are in that cloud. I am in that cloud. See, when you ascend up there, you realize that you are not just one person. You are multitudes that make up that one body, which is upon the mountain peaks of God. Praise God. To rediscover this oneness, every man must have the understanding of his origin in God. This is the only thing that can bring about the salvation. Paul says, this is the thing that makes us wise unto salvation. Receiving this revelation from above. This is the key to a new heavens and a new earth. This is the key to the Alpha power. This is the key to the Garden of Eden. This is the key to the All power. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ knew that he came from the Father. You see this in John chapter 13 verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came from God and went to God. How many of us have this realization? That same path which Jesus Christ walked is the same path that every child, every man on this face of this earth, every man who has sensed this separation, who has experienced the horrors of humanity must pass. That same path, we must all walk that path to rediscover ourselves back in God. Hallelujah. And you know the thing about it is that the door is open. When God opens a door, it is never shut. In the book of Revelation, John saw a door open in heaven, and he was taken through that door. That door remains open to this very day for every man. Who can just hearken to that voice which says, come up hither? In the last chapters in the book of Revelation, we saw the new Jerusalem with gates opened. Gates that are never closed, meaning that entrance into God, because that which enters into that realm is God. It's God's world, God's realm, God's dimension. Hallelujah. So we can see Jesus Christ knew that he came from the Father. He knew that he came out of God. And this is what every man out there has to awaken to today. We came out of God. And when you begin to hear the whistle, the trumpet, when you begin to hear messages like this, you must begin to awaken and go back to your first estate in God, to escape the horrors down there in humanity. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there are certain things that Jesus Christ said that have been misinterpreted to this very day. See, we're going to talk about baptism right now. Baptism, see, is a concept that, you know, has been mistaken for many years. And it's all right. The most important thing is that every man in his due, you know, in the right time, every man according to his order will hear that truth and be saved therein. See, Jesus Christ, shortly before he left, before he was taken up into heaven, had an encounter with his disciples, and these are the words he spoke to his disciples. I will start off with Matthew chapter 28. I'll read the account of Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16. See, Matthew chapter 28 verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Now this is Jesus Christ shortly before his ascension, shortly before he was taken up into the cloud, into glory. See, if you look in the account of the first chapter of Acts, when Jesus Christ was taken up, he was taken up into a cloud, into the glory cloud, and we've established that glory cloud is a spiritual body where all the saints are gathered in one in God. God is in that cloud. Praise God. So his ascension meant that he was going back into the Father, into God. Praise God. If you look at the appearances of God in the Old Testament, in the days of old, he always appeared with this same cloud. See it upon Mount Sinai, he appeared with the cloud. Praise God. The book of Psalms says that he makes the clouds his chariots. See, God is revealed through those who are gathered in one in Christ, in that glory cloud. See, there's no, wherever Christ is, God is there. There is no thing like God here and Christ the other place. There's no such thing. It's one. Praise God. And let us understand that God opened our eyes to see Jesus being taken up into that cloud to teach us things. See, the view of Jesus Christ being caught up into the cloud, it's a view that is something allegorical. It doesn't mean Jesus Christ was taken up into a physical cloud somewhere above us here in the sky. There's no such thing. Jesus Christ was taken up from the natural dimension, the material dimension of man, mortal man, and taken back into God's invisible realm. See, and he lives in the glory of the Father. Praise God. He lives in the glory of the Father forever and ever. He was taken up into the Spirit, into the invisible dimension of God. Praise God. Now let us try to get it clear. What is Jesus Christ saying here? He says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. See, teach all nations. Now this is his charge to his disciples, and of course we know the disciples are those who are gathered unto him. The disciples are those who are in the ascension, those who have been taken out of the ignorance of this age and are gathered unto him. These are the saints. So his charge to them was to teach the good news to the nations. Now who are the nations? The nations are those who are dispersed upon the face of the earth. The nations are those who are annihilated from the life of God due to the ignorance that is in them. See, that deep ignorance that was induced, that is induced, you know, upon man by Satan, the prince of this age, who has blinded the eyes of man's understanding, causing man to grope in darkness, thinking that he's separate from God, annihilated from the life of God, through ignorance. See, that is, my people perish for lack of knowledge, my people perish due to ignorance. So the gospel here now comes to teach us. See, teach the nations, those who are dispersed upon the earth, those who have gone the way of Adam in the transgression, those who inhabit the realm of hell and death, teach them teach them truth. Teach them the good doctrine from the beginning. Praise God. Now, it is this teaching that baptizes people into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, dipping somebody into physical water cannot baptize anybody into God. Forget that. All that is religion. All that is just symbolic. You know, men walk in shadows. And at times, Jesus Christ will have to use parables to speak to men. But he always adds at times, those that have ears, hear. Those who have understanding, understand. When Jesus Christ makes statements like this, you better understand that he has a spiritual revelation to give us. Praise God. What happens as we begin to hear the teachings from above, as we begin to get revelation from above, is that we are induced, gathered once more, consciously back into God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are one thing. We are immersed back into God. We are gathered back into God. This is the baptism. We are baptized into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, into the name of the Holy Ghost. Because we all came out from that one name. Praise God. It is the teaching, the leading of the Holy Ghost, the teaching of the Spirit of God, the inspiration of the Almighty that gathers the nations, those who are dispersed upon the earth, dispersed in the lower places of the earth, annihilated from the life of God. He gathers them back into that glory cloud, into God. He gathers them back into that soul name, that eternal name of God. You know, Adam, before he transgressed, you know, he was walking in the name of the Father. He was in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Ghost. You know, he was in that fellowship while he was in the Garden of Eden. Praise God. Adam lived by the name of the Father, by the name of the Son, by the name of the Holy Ghost. Adam was in God when he reigned in glory, when he was in the Garden of Eden, when he was in paradise, in God's kingdom. But all that ended when he was corrupted, when he was influenced by the voices of the dust, by men, by the prince of this age, the spirit that rules today in the sons of disobedience. That is the spirit that influenced Adam, it influenced you and I, it influenced all the men, the nations of the earth today. Adam was cast out from the Garden of Eden, was annihilated from the life of God. He became a vagabond, roaming the earth. See, but the time has come to gather back into God. The Bible says that there is a time to scatter, and there is a time to what? To gather. There is a time to die, there is a time to live. I tell you, the time has come to be gathered back into that one name. Hallelujah. The time has come to be gathered back into that one name, which is in God. This is what the whole gospel is all about. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself means let go of your life. Let go of everything that is contrary to this doctrine we are hearing today, and enter in and be saved. You see, we have to come to a place in our life where, like Paul, we say that we have left all, that I may be found in him, that I may bear that name, that I may experience this oneness upon Mount Zion. Praise God. We don't want to be teachers of the word of God. We don't want to be anything. We don't want to be head. I have no ambition. I don't want to be anything. All I want to do is to be found in him. That is all. I want to be found in him and nothing more. I don't have a doctrine of my own. I have no belief and nothing. All I just want is to be found in him. See, let us quit arguing. Arguing over doctrines, arguing over this and that, but rather be single-minded in our quest to realize this thing in its totality. Letting go of all that I may be found in him. Baptism into the Father and the Son means a death to the whole life and living anew in God, walking in God, having our being in God. Praise God. And when we begin to walk in this manner, we begin to discover that we are one. I am here, I am there, I am everywhere. Praise God. See, when Jesus Christ entered into the water, he was baptized. You know, in reality, that baptism is symbolic of his baptism into God. Those first 30 years Jesus Christ lived upon the earth, that man Jesus was unknown of God. That man Jesus was what? Was unknown of God. But you see, the moment Jesus Christ was baptized into the water and came out in a symbolic gesture, mark it, these words are what are symbolic. His baptism is what is symbolic. God, these things are placed there in the Bible to teach us spiritual truths. His baptism represented a death to the Jesus of Nazareth, a death to the man born of a woman, a death to the natural man of the dust. A new life in God. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father in me, in whom I am well pleased. See, I can assure you that the moment Jesus Christ went to be baptized, he knew what he was doing. All those years, I'm sure he was prepared, he was reading. Must have studied the Bible those years before he got to the age of 30. There must have been a preparation before that time. And all that preparation was to lead him forth into that great baptism, baptized into the Father, into the Son, and into the Holy Ghost. See, the glory cloud of God descended upon Jesus as a dove. He was baptized by faith into that body. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. If you want to hear that voice, all you need to do is to know that I came out of the Father and I go to the Father. Not just knowing that I came out from the Father, but I go to the Father, leaving all to go to the Father. Let's read the baptism account of Mark, what Mark says. At times it's good to read all these things. They have their own, every man has his own view of certain things. Mark and Matthew, we're all there. but the way Matthew presented his own is different from the way Mark presented his story. So let us read that of Mark. Mark chapter 16 verse 14. Are we there? Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Praise God. And just after this, Jesus Christ spoke about the signs that will accompany those that believe. He says that they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents with their hands, they shall drink deadly things and it shall not hurt them, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord, I'm reading Mark chapter 16 verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Praise God. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the words with signs following. Praise God. Now, we can see the same concept of baptism here. Jesus Christ charged the disciples to go into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the world, like we know, it represents separation from God. See, Jesus Christ once says, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. I am not of this world. See, the world represents separation from God. See, when men walk ignorant of this secret, this thing that we are sharing today, this oneness, this eternal sacred oneness we all have with God, he's like of the among the nations, separate from the reality of the life of God. And when you are separate from the life of God, it's tribulation, fear, torment. John says fear is torment. Fear is torment. So you know men live in torment. If you are afraid of an airplane crash, you know that's torment. You are afraid of a car crash, that's torment. See it? You are afraid, when the postmaster rings the bell, you know that's torment. You are afraid for your future, that's torment. Once there is fear, that is a fruit of annihilation from the life of God. That is, fear is the principal fruit from this sense of annihilation from God. Because if every man is fitted into God, there is no such thing as fear. Your peace will be as the rivers, and your faith unlimited. Unlimited possibilities. Praise God. When the disciples screamed out in the boat, as the boat rocked, Jesus Christ slept like a baby. Why? Because Jesus Christ had awoken to the reality that he was in God. In God, there is no turbulence, there is no fear. Praise God, this is our peace. You see, all the working to, to get some kind of security by gathering onto ourselves can never bring that security we seek. That which will bring the security is realizing or awakening to the reality that we are in God. Praise God. Jesus Christ charged his disciples, go and preach the gospel to all creatures. Go into the world. Those who are, you know, in the dark places of the earth, far away from the life of God, and alienated from God the Father. Preach the good news unto them, the gospel, and cause them to awaken from the dead. Cause them to awaken to the reality of the oneness in God. See it? He that believes, those that believe your words, these words that you speak, and are baptized, shall be saved. See it? Your believing, this testimony from the disciples, your ability to comprehend this gospel is what will lead you back into the light. This is the baptism. You are baptized back, immersed back into God, consciously. Praise God. In God there is no sickness, no disease, no death. You live in absolute life in God. You see, when Jesus Christ spoke about the signs that will follow those who preach the gospel, when he talked about the sick being healed, the dead being raised, see, the sick being, you know, laying your hands on the sick and the sick recovering. You know, we've all always interpreted these things as going back to going down to somebody and laying your hands on the sick and the person is well. Now, I personally have had that experience several times where we laid our hands on people who are sick, terminally sick, and the person awoke, you know, got life back immediately. But let us understand the fullness of what Jesus Christ is saying here is quite different. See, people are raised back into life. People are healed when they awaken consciously back into that oneness in God. Brethren, there is a dimension that is reserved for those that love God. These things are real. There is a dimension of pure light reserved for those who love God. There is a place where there is a putting an end to all darkness. It is real. See, it is the Spirit that leads you into this dimension. It's the Spirit that awakens you to the reality of this dimension, which is ever present. The true healing that we can get, body, soul, spirit, eternally speaking, is as we are immersed in God in baptism. Hallelujah. We pray for people, and those of you who have the faith, I still encourage you to pray for people who are sick. A brother or sister might have a problem. If you have the faith, pray for the person. If you want to lay your hands on the person, lay your hands on the person. There's no problem with that. But get it clear that the totality of the healing that we seek gets comes by our ability to receive these glad tidings from above. See it. Preach the gospel unto every creature. Teach the nations. And what am I teaching? I don't teach my words. It's what the Spirit has revealed to me from above that I speak. This is what will heal you. This is what will raise you up. This is what will cause you to overcome the carnal nature. He says that they shall what, take off serpents with their hands. See, he's not telling us to go into the bush to look for cobras or vipers or whatever, or others. Rather, he's telling us to that those that believe shall take up serpents. They shall have the power to overcome the nature of the devil. Praise God. You shall have the power to overcome what? The nature that ties you to the dust. You know, you remember the prayer of the of the psalmist, in one of the psalms, he says that my soul cleaves to the dust, quicken me. My soul cleaves to the dust, quicken me. Praise God. There is a quickening that comes as the Spirit of God comes, you know, into us, and we begin to allow the Spirit lead us. There is a quickening that occurs in us that causes us to be awakened to our spirituality. See, we become loosened from that nature, that carnal nature, which equates to lust and sin and death. Praise God. The gospel from above brings about liberation. It causes us to have the victory over the beast, over the mark of the beast, the nature of the serpent. Hallelujah. These are the signs for those who will believe this gospel and allow the Spirit lead them. Allow the Spirit to baptize them into the Godhead. Hallelujah. You know, somebody, I was speaking to an Italian brother some time back, and he flared up and told me that, but the disciples baptized in water. That even after Jesus Christ left, the disciples baptized in water. That how can I say that baptism does not have nothing to do with water? See, but I tried to explain to him that, look, those disciples were religious people. Those disciples were people who were brought up in the traditional Hebrew tradition. They were Hebrew men by tradition. And I tell you, baptism was a purely Hebrew thing, a purely religious rite that occurs in different, you know, traditions all over the world. Even in Africa, ancient traditions cause men to be baptized. You have to be dipped into a river to show a kind of consecration onto a cause. So when you have a convert and he's baptized into your cause. He's baptized into your system. So baptism has always been something that has been there in Nazarite tradition, even before Jesus Christ came, even long in the Hebrew tradition. So these things have, you know, they carry this thing with them, these luggages with them, into the gospel era, into the new era. Praise God. You know, those disciples like Peter, who were with Jesus, do you know they had lesser revelation of Christ than Paul did? Paul had greater revelation of Christ than people like Peter. Peter wrote in one of his letters that, you know, some of the things that Paul writes are, yeah, a bit, you know, somehow deep, at times hard to understand. But brethren, I can assure you that these words of Paul are words from God. It's even years after the death of Jesus, Peter was still calling, you know, animal clean and unclean until he had a revelation from God that all things are clean. So you can see that even though that they were disciples, they still had to go through a chipping. They still had to go through a process of regeneration, illumination. Praise God. Of course, I don't advise anybody to go into a church and condemn people that who baptize. These are things that you keep within yourself maturely. Some of these truths that God commits into us are to be kept with all maturity. See, God didn't call us to condemn people and all that, you know. But we just want every man to know the truth. See, baptism is all about being immersed into God. Being immersed back into that glory of God. Hallelujah. Every man who wants to be saved must realize his origin in God and be baptized back into the same. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. If you look at one of the letters, of John, spend 1 minute please, or rather of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, we're seeing here a Peter who had, you know, become mature in the things of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Let's see what Peter says here about baptism. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God awaited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answering of what? A good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and powers and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Praise God. Now we see Jesus, Peter here speaking about baptism afresh. What true baptism is. You can see that he's talking here about we being gathered unto God. See, he came to preach to the spirit in prison, even those spirits that disobeyed in the time of Noah. We must understand that Noah is an example of those who enter into the Christ consciousness and are baptized into God. See, Noah, like we can see in these verses of Peter here is speaking by revelation, a more mature Peter. Peter who had grown in the reality of the things of the Spirit, says here that the story of Noah is a figure of the baptism. It's a shadow of the baptism. See it? Noah was saved by water. He was baptized into a new dispensation. Not of the washing of the flesh, the physical body. You know, when you go into water, it's like washing your body. It's much more than that, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Hallelujah. We have the blood. We've been blotted out all our transgressions, and we all can stand perfect and righteous in God through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not minding their trespasses. He's not bothered about your trespass. He's not aware of your trespasses. Your trespasses will only trouble you. But God is not aware of you. He's of that all that stuff. He's aware of the Son of God in you. And with open arms, he's welcoming his sons back home. Hallelujah. Those of us who hear the gospel and humble ourselves, enter into that ark and are baptized into God. When Noah came out of that ark, he was upon a mountain. And you know, where you have the mountain, you have the cloud, you have the rainbow, A rainbow appeared. Praise God. If you study the blessings of Noah upon the mountain, it's the same blessing that God gave man in the beginning. Be fruitful and multiply. Have all dominion. The Noah that comes out of the ark, the Noah that is baptized into a new dispensation, is a new man, a new creature in God, having his being in God. See, for God is made in the image, and man is made in the image of God. God repeats that in the blessings of Noah. See, Noah is symbolic of those who rediscover the Christ in them. Christ is the image of God. And Christ is one with God the Father. Praise God. Those spirits that are in prison, bound to corruption, bound to the beggarly elements of this world, the gospel is here to set you free, to set the captives free, hallelujah, so that they can enter into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. True liberty is found in God. True life, I've come to give life, and life abundantly. Life abundantly is enjoyment. You don't know enjoyment as a man? See, your money cannot give you true enjoyment. Enjoyment, as is known as God, you know, and the enjoyment, the pleasures of Eden, is found for those who rediscover their immaculate selves in God. Then their eyes open to see a realm of glitz, beauty. Your eyes begin to see things that you never saw, you never realized existed. The greatness of God, the majesty and the power. And you begin to discover yourself walking in that same all power. In that same all power of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Baptism into God. This is what the mystery of godliness teaches us. See it. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and preached unto the Gentiles. You remember the part, the aspect of preaching must always be there. Preach unto the Gentiles. How will they know if they do not hear? How will the Gentiles, who are annihilated from the life of God, separate from God, subject to vanity, to tribulation, hell, and death, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, how will they hear? How will they know? Except they hear the gospel. Except they hear the voice of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Those in the world must believe the gospel to be received back into that glory of God. Hallelujah. This is where our mind should be. Our focus should be on that glory in God the Father. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before I discovered myself as a mortal in a realm where there is no knowledge of God. Father, glorify me. Glorify me with yourself. Hallelujah. Lead me unto yourself. Awaken me into yourself. This is the baptism. Hallelujah. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. We are gathered into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We are one. That is God. That is the all power. That is the universal eye that created the heavens and the earth, in whom rests the all power, hallelujah, in heaven and earth, that sustains everything, both seen and invisible, seen and, you know, and unseen, the visible and invisible. That is the power that rules over all, and we are all being gathered into that same place, hallelujah. Know that I am God, hallelujah. I shall be exalted above the nations. Let this revelation get you. And as this revelation gets you, as you allow the Spirit lead you into this reality, you will discover yourself exalted above all. Hallelujah. Now I'll round up with Psalm, a beautiful Psalm. Psalm 73. Hallelujah. We've spoken about baptism today. We've established that baptism is all about our being immersed into God. Praise God. Baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, so that we can walk in newness of life. We all walk in the new name, because God is all in all. The book of Revelation says, John saw those who are saved in the new Jerusalem, the servants of God, in that dimension of light, where there is no more curse, no more pain, no more sorrow. They had the name of the Father upon their foreheads. Praise God. And they see the face of God. These are those who are baptized into that name, that one name. They've rediscovered that one name and live according to that one name. They have their being in God. No more curse, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more fear, no more tears. Anxieties fade away. All things are passed away. All things are new. Praise God. Let us be focused, brethren. Hallelujah. Let us look at the mindset of those who desire this baptism, who desire to be found in Him, that I may be found in Him. Psalm chapter 73, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. Thou hast holding me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Hallelujah. That I may declare all thy works. Meditate on these words, beautiful words in Psalm chapter 73. The mindset of those who seek eternal glory. Who do I have in heaven, on earth, apart from God? Let your treasures be in heaven. Let your treasures be in God. Let the only thing that you desire, like Paul, is to that I may be found in Him. Praise God. That I may be found in Him. See, let the Almighty be your silver and your gold. Let it be the force that motivates you in all things. Let this reality lead you into glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of God guide us into glory. And of course, it is the will of God to guide us into glory. But how attentive are we? How still are we? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Receive me at that place at the right hand of God, where there are pleasures forevermore, where there is the all power, where there is no more death, where corruption cannot rule over me. Guide me into that place, into that dimension, by your Spirit. Careful guidance See it. It's better to be a student in this sense, exercising ourselves to be listeners rather than being teachers or speakers. Exercising ourselves rather to allow the Spirit of God lead us gradually into this reality, this bliss, this glory, this unspeakable joy that surpasses all knowledge. Hallelujah, for He is here to guide us and to lead us and to present us before the presence of His glory with shouts of joy forevermore. May you be blessed. Amen.